What we have here is that right from Aristotle's time, we see evidence of a great battle between private money and government money. This is the key. This is the key divide historically. This is our own history, if it's properly written, is between a fight between privately controlled money and government controlled money. And we see it right from Aristotle's time in that his word for money, nomisma, it's not found in ancient Greek texts. You find it in Herodotus in the 400s BC. You see it again in Aristotle over 100 years later. Now, what we think is that the term was suppressed in an ongoing struggle between an oligarchy, a rich old boy network that liked to trade based on credit and their old relations, against the nomisma, which had been introduced and controlled by the newer city-state organization, the Greek polis. It probably goes back before that, but we see that. This continued in Rome, a battle between the plutocracy and Rome. It continued in England. In England, it became a battle between the goldsmiths and the monarchy over this control. We'll go into more detail with the norm meaning, if anyone likes. It continues today in the United States, and our own history is one of the richest in terms of monetary experimentation. Both the Brits and the Dutch did not allow money to be exported into the colonies here. They didn't want the colonists trading with each other. They wanted them supplying commodities home, the same way as globalization tends to work today. So our forebears here tried every monetary experiment. And for a long time, we were the most intelligent people in terms of monetary concepts because we tried them. We found out what worked, what didn't work. We went through every type of example. And again, we don't have time to do that here, but we'll do that in the norm meeting. And the key element in this battle, which we then trace from Adam Smith, is the following. Today, it's still the bankers versus society. And this started here thanks largely to mistakes or to oversights made at our Constitutional Convention. In 1776, Adam Smith helped erect a mythology of money, obscuring the science of money. History and thought shows that money's essence is legal power, as we mentioned. Economists are still arguing whether it should be a commodity like gold. Ron Paul just introduced legislation to go onto a gold standard. Other economists are pretending that money has to be a credit issued by a bank and then legally monetized. Economics has never properly defined money, and this is thanks to the father of economics himself, Adam Smith, who promoted this confusion by removing the legal concept of money in his definition. Definitions are crucial. They are the, as I mentioned, the heavy artillery in this fight. Here's what he defined money as. By the money price of goods, it's to be observed, I understand always the quantity of pure gold or silver for which they are sold without any regard to denomination of the coin. He took the concept of money back to where it was in England before the Romans arrived. That's what his definition is. That insinuated a mythology of money in economics. Economics has not recovered from that error, and it will not until that error is corrected. Now, our proposed reforms, I'm going to give these to you just very, very briefly. We'll go into details later. We began the introduction of these proposals in Washington on Monday and Tuesday with meetings with congressional aides. This is the beginning of a long-term process. First, to nationalize the Federal Reserve System and reconstitute it within the U.S. Treasury, where it is encouraged to grow into a fourth branch of government. When you think about it, the monetary power affects us on a daily basis far more than either the executive, the legislative, or the judicial branch. Day to day, and in your work, it's the monetary power. There is going to be a fourth branch of government. Three was never enough, not in England, not here. The fourth branch will exist. Better to recognize it and to control it and to have it within our society and societal control. All right. Second point of the reform, remove the privilege which banks have to create money. This is crucial. Bank of England was nationalized in 1946. It helped a lot, but it was not enough because they did not remove the power of the private banks to continue creating money. We can do that here. And further, through a very elegant process, we can convert all the existing money that the banks have created to date into U.S. government money. And we'll describe exactly how that's done in the NORM meeting. Third, and this is where the price parity concept becomes very important. Third, we institute programs for automatic, constitutionally determined government money creation. We start with the $2 trillion that the Society of American Civil Engineers tell us is necessary to bring our infrastructure up to acceptable levels. And a part of that process, right from the beginning, or as soon as it can be, is to introduce a price parity system for agriculture, because this has features which are crucial in the introduction of money. First, that it gets spread geographically over a wide area, over the entire country, as that would do. Second, it's dispersed in relatively small amounts, so that it does not continue to add to a concentration of money and wealth process. And third, it makes good sense from a social policy point of view. It's not just a question of profits. It's not just a question of profit and loss that will define what's needed for humanity to thrive and to move into the future, into the third millennium, which we're here now. We have to start using thoughtful concepts. The objection that the economists and others will bring up against this is, isn't that socialism? You know, we're so scared. I've never seen a people more frightened of words than we are. And it's because we've been abused through our media for so many decades. It's not socialism or any ism. I'm not here to promote an ism. It's a question of being reasonable and addressing particular problems in the way that they should be addressed. Some have to be addressed individually. Others must be addressed as a group. And if you don't do it that way, there's always going to be some subgroup within that group that's powerful enough to control. It'll be the Enrons. You're familiar with what kind of groups can do that. Now, we have 1 minute. Okay, the NORM meeting is going to continue with the parity system. I'll show how government money has a far superior record during the periods when our government did control the money system in this country. And that's happened from time to time. I'll show you how private central banking began in this country, and it's a story. It's essentially criminal, and you'll understand that it was based on fraud, was based on overwhelming a group that did not have the full knowledge of what was going on. And you may know that one of the conditions of a contract is that people understand it. A contract's invalid when either party is not aware of what it means. And that's been our condition with money right back to the Constitutional Convention. We'll also talk about how the attack on government, which we see prevalent today, government is attacked for virtually everything. There's such a smear campaign that's going on against our government. You can't turn on the radio without hearing a part of it for 15 hours a day. Basically, in our upstate Albany area, we get 15 hours a day. We get Rush Limbaugh, we get Sean Hannity, we get Michael Savage, we get all these guys. At base, they're attacking government. Where did that start? We found the beginning of that in Adam Smith. And the reason for it, in his attack on England, actually, the reason for it was to keep the monetary power within private hands, to keep the monetary power in the hands of the private Bank of England. That's where this started. And that clues us in to the importance of the monetary power. We'll discuss other reform proposals, such as the gold standard, free banking, local currencies, why they may have good points or bad points, usually not good, and how they would affect farmers. So I think my time's up. Thank you very much for your attention.